Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the House is drawing up articles of impeachment. The Trump administration has been ramping up investigations into immigrants working illegally.
We're talking about quadruple the number of new cases open in this past year compared with the final year of the Obama administration.
And the Pentagon rethinks its approach to mental health care. It's Thursday, December 5th. This is the PM edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. The oil giant Saudi Aramco has priced its initial public offering, and it's come out at the high end of its targeted range, valuing the company at $1.7 trillion. That will make it the world's biggest ever IPO, breaking a record set by China's online commerce company Alibaba in 2014, which debuted at $25 billion. Aramco's share price still falls short of the initial $2 trillion valuation targeted by Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The company's shares are scheduled to begin trading on Saudi Arabia's stock exchange on Wednesday. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she's ordered the House Judiciary Committee to draw up articles of impeachment, a day after the panel held its first public hearing on the matter.
The facts are uncontested. The president abused his power for his own personal political benefit at the expense of our national security by withholding military aid and crucial Oval Office meeting in exchange for an announcement of an investigation into his political rival.
Yesterday, the Judiciary Committee heard from four legal experts to help lawmakers establish the standards for impeachment. The committee's next public hearing is set for Monday. Japan's cabinet has approved a $120 billion stimulus package. It's the country's largest stimulus in more than 3 years. Our Peter Landers has more on what prompted the decision.
Two reasons, really. One is troubles in overseas economies, and you see Japan's exports to China are way down. That's a reflection of troubles in China and U.S.-China trade tensions. And also at home, they just raised taxes, a sales tax. So if you go to the store in Japan, you pay now a 10% sales tax on everything you buy, with some exceptions, up from 8%. And no surprise, consumption is down. People are buying fewer cars. So it kind of is taking from one pocket to pay the other, I suppose. But they are expanding spending to try to lift the economy where it's falling back.
Part of the stimulus package will be used to support Japan's infrastructure. The Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, known as ICE, has ramped up its focus on workplace investigations, targeting both immigrants and their employers. The latest numbers show ICE quadrupled those investigations this fiscal year compared to 2016. One of the most high-profile investigations occurred in August, when ICE raided several food processing plants in Mississippi, detaining 680 immigrants working illegally in the United States. Joining me now with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Michelle Hackman. Michelle, we've been reporting on a greater focus on immigration inquiries at the workplace, especially in the past 2 years. Tell us what you found in the latest numbers.
Sure. So these are new annual numbers from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, and they show that the administration is really, really ramping up its workplace immigration enforcement. I mean, we're talking about quadruple the number of new cases open in this past year compared with the final year of the Obama administration. And numbers are up across the board. Arrests are way up. The number of just audits, I-9 audits, are way up. So we're really seeing a huge focus on this sort of enforcement.
And this is in line with the broader policies that the Trump administration has outlined regarding immigration.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, President Trump talks about immigration enforcement all the time. And typically, when we hear about that in the news, it's, you know, the border wall. It's talking about asylum policy. It's trying to prevent people from or discourage people from crossing the border altogether. This is just another form of that enforcement. And I think the administration has more recently thought about highlighting that more because, you know, obviously, the reason that a lot of immigrants want to come to the United States, other than sort of to seek humanitarian protection, is to be able to work. And these workplace raids that are happening, you know, are highlighting that it's making it tougher for undocumented immigrants to find work, and it's making it tougher for employers who, you know, who hire those people. Right, and when we think of these workplace enforcement cases targeting immigrants, they've been very controversial. I'm thinking here of the raids at the food processing plants that occurred over the summer. And controversial not only with the wider public, but also with local agencies that are asked to coordinate with federal officials on this.
Yeah. So, you know, the Mississippi investigation that you're talking about, it happened at several food processing plants in Mississippi. It's probably one of the biggest ICE operations we've seen maybe in the last decade. And they're hugely controversial because obviously they pick up a lot of people who are here illegally, who are working illegally. ICE would also say that those people are committing additional crimes. You know, a lot of them are using other people's social security numbers to work. But at the same time, they're, you know, people who have been living in the United States often for a decade, maybe more, have children here. And so if you remember the coverage around the Mississippi case, I mean, there were a lot of children who had no idea where their parents went. One day they went to school and they came home and their parents had been rounded up. And so I think in terms of the impact that these raids have on communities, it's huge. And that's why it's so controversial.
Michelle, I want to talk about the particular unit of ICE that we're focusing on here. You write that this is somewhat of an increased focus for this unit, and it's led to fewer cases being opened in other areas.
It's a really interesting organization. So it's a law enforcement agency inside ICE. It's called Homeland Security Investigations, and it's kind of this outgrowth of several other things. So it's immigration enforcement, but it's also the old U.S. Customs Service. So it's a lot of, you know, international gangs and money moving across the border, drugs, you know, even things like art theft fall under Homeland Security Investigations. And so I think the agency for a very long time has really actually tried to distance itself from ICE's reputation as an immigration enforcement agency, because that's made it tougher for you know, them to do their work in sort of a broader way and even work with local agencies who say, I don't want to help you out on this drug case because you're ICE. We don't work with ICE. That's what makes these new numbers especially striking, is that this agency that has really, really tried to distance itself from the sort of unilateral immigration focus has really, really ramped up its immigration-related work in the last couple years.
That's The Wall Street Journal's Michelle Hackman joining me from Washington. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you.
Mental health problems among veterans are often assumed to be rooted in experiences in war zones. But ongoing Army studies show that for many soldiers, problems began before they joined the military. The findings have prompted the Pentagon to rethink how it approaches long-term mental health care. Joining me now with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling. So, Ben, you write about the findings of several studies here that at this point go back decades, and they find that for many troops, mental health issues can be traced back to before they enlisted. Tell us some more about this growing body of evidence and what we can learn from it.
Well, some of the studies that I mentioned in the story are based on decades of research. So there's really a modern body of research that started after the Gulf War, and then another one that was kicked off a few years after that to have longitudinal information on what's happening with troops over time. That research has led to multiple surveys and studies and papers and journal articles. And those studies show that troops often come into the service with pre-existing mental health issues, that the causes of mental health issues once in the military aren't necessarily the things that we think of stereotypically as contributing to those causes. So, for example, troops who haven't deployed are often as likely or more likely than troops who haven't deployed to die by suicide.
How do these results compare to other surveys of high-stress occupations? In many ways, the results can mirror what we see across many other fields as well, that some people enter the workforce with mental health issues that they may have had before starting their jobs.
Well, I think that the important thing here is to look at the way that this reflects broader society. In interviewing multiple experts and scientists and researchers on this, they said, hey, it's important to remember that soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, they come from the general population. And the general population in America, a lot of us have pre-existing traumas, whether it's childhood trauma, trauma we had as young adults, or even as adults. And the survey results that have come out of the Army and the Department of Defense show that troops, just like people, have issues that can either lead to high resiliency later on down the road, sort of wanting to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and leave some of those memories behind, or they can cause people to eventually break down and have it affect them mentally.
Ben, at the same time, there's a big stigma around mental illness, especially in the military. Is there concern that results like these could discourage troops from seeking help they might need?
The military actually, one of the biggest things that the military is working to is to break down some of these barriers, these stigmas that exist where troops are avoiding getting any kind of mental health treatment because of stigma. And we're finding through other research that things like PTSD, it's not necessarily a mental health issue. It's a physical reaction that's happening to an experience you had. So troops are more likely now to go in and get help as this becomes more mainstream, as these findings come out that show more people are suffering and that getting treatment for it can put you back on the line with your comrades. For a while, people were worried that if they showed any sign of weakness, that you'd be pulled off the line, you'd lose your job, you'd be thrown out of the military. But now some of those barriers are breaking down because it's becoming more common and more accepted for folks to get treatment.
What are some of the ways the military is using these findings to help improve support services?
One of the big things that the Army has done is embedded behavioral health teams at lower levels. So rather than have sort of a big hospital on the hill that's at an Army base and you have to travel across base to get treatment, they're embedding doctors and clinicians at the low levels, like the battalion level. So troops can very quickly and easily get appointments. And it's more likely that they will get appointments. The number of appointments shot through the roof in the years since these behavioral health teams have been embedded at the local level. And then there's also just more of a focus on discussing the problem, discussing this issue with troops, letting them know that they aren't alone, letting them know that it's possible to get help and to not be punished for it.
Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling joining me from Chicago. Thank you so much, Ben.
Thank you.
And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.